Hi, and welcome back. I'm Simi Lerner, and this is Judaism from Within, the podcast where we develop the approach of Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch. We're now going through the commandments in the Torah that Rav Hirsch develops an underlying reasoning or principle that makes sense of the commandment not as an isolated law, but as a framework that fits in line with why we're in this world, what we are here to do, how the mitzvah itself leads towards accomplishing the mission. And Rav Hirsch is dealing now with the category which he calls mitzvahs. Now, each one of these podcasts can be appreciated in isolation. A reason, an explanation, a fleshing out of a commandment is done, but it fits into a broader philosophical legal framework that Rav Hirsch develops to understand the Torah. Today we're dealing with a commandment, or the importance of, respecting your elders, the idea that you stand up when an old man comes in. But based off the Torah's explicit commandments, but also the oral laws dealing with this commandment, I think we can put it into three categories. The categories Rav Hirsch uses, but more than that, it represents an overarching philosophy that Judaism very much encourages. So let's go through the basic framework. An older person comes into the room, you stand up. A wise person comes into the room, you stand up. Now, elderly individuals, what have they done for me? Why should I respect them? Now, this is a classic critique that often comes out from a sort of a more postmodern perspective. The idea that we can tear down boundaries and ask any question. Now, yes, we can ask any question, and the question has a certain intuitive feel to it. Why should I respect experience? Why should I respect someone who's older? Now, the answer to such a question is going to fall down to the idea that they've lived life. They've struggled through life. Now, it doesn't mean you respect a bad person, but there is something in experience that is healthy to respect, because you're going to be in that position as well one day. Someone who has lived life has experience, and through experience comes our second stage, which is wisdom. But even the experience it themselves, a person who has lived a life where, even if they are not wise, they have still struggled through life and they remain a good person, there is something there to be respectful of. Now, a person can ask, well, why? And I think that can be answered in two levels. One, that's the nature of love. If someone is, obviously we're not talking about an evil person here, we're talking about a good person who struggled through life, and when they come into the room, you recognize the experience that's there. But more than that, it forces you to appreciate the shoulders in which you're standing on. Your society and your culture is based off the work of the previous generations. The postmodern critique on age and experience, because they can often point out to problems with the approach of our ancestors. Yes, but you're still standing on their shoulders. The next generation will also critique you, but you also would hope they would give the charity and the respect that you did your best. Now, we can never see the future, but a society that scorns its elderly is a society that will eventually die, because it doesn't look at what happened before as being of value, thereby it cannot grow. Growth in a society requires a stepping stone. The stepping stone is the previous generation. And if you scorn the previous generation, you encourage your students to scorn it. And thereby, you cannot grow, and you regress. We see this with totalitarian regimes that try and undercut. They become repressive. They become less free. And this less freeness, I think, is going to be a key theme that's going to be relevant here. But let's get to that in a minute. Experience. Experience plays itself out in what we call a zaken, a wise person. A person can be young and wise, but in general, age develops wisdom. A person who approaches the world, learns from the world, they become wise. Now, the term wisdom is a bit fluffy to a certain degree. What do we mean by wisdom? What do we mean by insight? But for our purposes here, we're talking about what comes forth from experience. What comes forth from experience, but here's, I think, the key, because it's the principle that comes at the end, which is virtue, a goal-driven life. Now, I'll break this down. A person says that they've got experience and they've got age, but are they wise? Well, where was that experience and age leading them towards? What were they trying to achieve? If they had a goal in mind, a virtuous goal in mind that they were working their way towards, the way they experienced the world wasn't in the pursuit of, I don't know, money or pursuit of fame, it was the pursuit of the good life. It was in the pursuit of virtue, which means what they learned and what they remembered and what they kept hold of we would call wisdom because it was leading towards the good life. It was leading towards a life of virtue, a life of chesed, a life of gemilas chasadim. In which case, what do we mean if we bring these ideas together? Rav Hirsch is telling us that the Torah's encouragement, the Torah's commandment for us to respect the elderly is because the elderly is one with experience. He has ripened. The word shiv, which is the word that's used to describe such a person, is the same word that we use in Iyov in reference to the ripening of a fruit, because they lived out that potential. They had that potential and they lived it out. They worked. They experienced the world, but then it blossoms forth into a wise person, but not just because they lived. Yes, just someone who lived passively. There's a respect that's owed to them because you're stepping on their shoulders. You're stepping on the shoulders of the elderly, and that is a good trait to have. But if that leads towards wisdom, and what do we mean by wisdom? We mean wisdom that is a person who's lived his life with the pursuit of virtue. Thereby, the things they remember, the mistakes they made, the successes they had, were in the pursuit of the good life, in service of God, in service of their highest principle. In which case, they're a wise person, because their insight and their direction can lead you along that path as well. That is the greatest sort of wisdom, wisdom that is not detached from morality. So we have an older person, we have a wise person, and this blossoms forth into a virtuous person. And that's the last stage. The last stage is the person who had the potential of a life, lived it out in the pursuit of a higher goal, became a wise person, and then lived his life out as a virtuous person. I think that is a good framework for understanding why we stand up when an older or a wise person comes in, because we're demonstrating in action that I too want to be in the pursuit of this mission that they lived their life in the pursuit of. But I think this topic gets a bit deeper, because there is a posuk that precedes the verse that discusses wisdom and respect for the virtuous, which is a soothsayer and an oracle of what's known as an oiv and yadoini. Now, what is an oiv and yadoini? Without going into the nitty-gritty of it, it is the type of person who goes to a soothsayer, goes to a mystic, and asks them for information. Any information it may be, what they should do, how they should do it, doesn't really matter for our purposes, but it is the type of person who is looking for a quick fix. They are not looking at raw potential to be developed. They are not looking at wisdom to be cultivated. They're not interested in process. They're interested in the result. And that's all they want. They go to the soothsayer, they take some concoction, they dance around, and they tell you the information. You do no work. You do no struggle. You do no active development. It's all given to you. That is the temptation of a soothsayer and an oracle. And Rav Hirsch, without broadening this topic too far, he looks at this as an expression of impurity, tumah. Now, I know someone might be listening to this and say, what does impurity have to do with this? Well, it has everything to do with this. If you look at impurity, as Rav Hirsch does, as being passivity, a lack of freedom of the will. People often look at impurity as being some sort of bad, noxious, mystical fume. Rav Hirsch rejects this. It is a conceptual idea. The way it acts is conceptual. It relates to the death of an individual. It relates to a corpse. It relates to a object like a pot, but it's all related to a person's intent and mindset. So it's not a bad thing. It's part of life. People become impure through no wrongdoing. But the idea of impurity always has around it a certain stifling, a certain lack of movement. And that, for Rav Hirsch, is what happens when a person engages in a soothsayer. They are looking to be passive. They are not looking for agency. They're not looking for movement. They're looking to be told. They're looking to be given. Besides the fact that it's just not true, but that's almost beside the point. It's the theological mistake that's being made, not so much the intellectual mistake. They're approaching the world looking for quick fixes. If you contrast that with the next verse of the importance of wisdom and experience being lived out in the pursuit of virtue, well, there's a clear distinction there. One represents this impurity, this tumah, this lack of freedom, this lack of agency, this desire for quick fixes, this desire for it just being given to you. The other one looks at work, looks at struggle, looks at the desire to pursue a higher goal, and the trudge and the steps in the pursuit of that. And I was thinking that if we look at this as being an overall, to summarize, experience, wisdom, and virtue, you stand up. You don't just say, oh, I agree, it's good. No, You actively stand up. You lift yourself up. You take that work to show that this is a world, a vision that I want to live out. You act with effort to mirror the effort that was took place to develop such virtue and wisdom. Now you parallel that with Oiv and Yadoini, an oracle and a soothsayer. It's just a quick fix. It's just given to you. It's like the junk food of religion. It's not the work. I just want the answer. No process, just result. And in a contemporary way, you can see a good parallel to this. If you take language learning models, such as ChatGPT or DeepSeek, whatever it may be, whichever one you happen to use, there is a profound danger that you use it, you see what it has to say, and you copy it. You don't reflect. You don't develop it. I'm not saying not to use it. I'm saying how you use it is key. Is it going to be a tool in your backpack in cultivating virtue and wisdom? Or is it going to be an oracle for you, something that will just give you answers so you don't have to work? One is a dangerous method, and one of them is a practical tool. Now, I'm not telling you what to do, obviously, but I see a certain taste of this Oiv and Yadoini, this certain impurity that in lack of agency, in lack of movement, in lack of work, in lack of effort. And that's not the Jewish way. Kedusha requires work. Kedusha requires development. Kedusha requires a goal that you're striving towards. So, respect for the elderly and respect for wisdom. Next week, we'll be discussing Talmud Torah. Why we study Torah, the value of the study of Torah, the importance of the study of Torah, through the lens of Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch. And until then, have a wonderful week.